Oma Gnanatipanandasya Gnananjana Salakaya Chaksur Mulitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manovishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadam Ayam Dadati Swapadantikam. The essence of what we've been talking about is attentive chanting. Attentive chanting means Tada Rajas Tamo Bhava Kama Lobha Dayastraye. That one has to become free from the modes of ignorance, which tendency causes what's called laya, or sleepiness, when we engage in devotional practices, and vikshepa, which is distraction while engaged in devotional practices, and apravati, which means even when there is no distraction, and even when we're not sleeping, still we have no interest in devotional practices. And dukkavad, which is also similar to siddha, nisiddhaschar, which means habits which are unbecoming a Vaishnava or a Vaishnavi, and rasavad, maintaining a taste for material enjoyment. So this, in the absence of these five different aspects, then one is said to come to the platform of nishtha. Essentially, the holy name, form, and qualities of Krishna are transcendentally sweet, just like sugar candy. Although the tongue of one afflicted by the jaundice of avidya, ignorance, cannot relish anything sweet, but it is wonderful how by simply chanting these sweet names every day, a natural relish awakens within the tongue, and his disease is destroyed at the root. For those who like Sanskrit, the verse is, Sat Krishna Nama Charitari Sutapta Vidya Pito Patapta Rasanasi Narochikanu Kinvadarad Anudinam Kaila Savadushta Sadikramad Bhavati Sadgala Mulahandri. In other words, Krishna's name, form, quality, and pastimes, they're all of the nature of spiritual happiness. But as long as we're afflicted by the modes of material nature, as long as we allow ourselves, actually, the example is given, just like if there's a tree, and someone runs up and embraces the tree, and tells the tree, let me go, let me go. But actually, the tree is not holding on to us, we're holding on to the tree. Similarly, because of our misidentification with this body, which essentially means material concepts, then it is because of that attachment that we find ourselves in material existence or material consciousness. But if we can give up that attachment, and the best way of giving up that misconceptions or this attachment to this body is by becoming attached to another body, namely Krishna, his name, form, quality, pastimes, and associates. And if we become attached to them, then gradually the attachments to this material conceptions and material consciousness will gradually diminish in proportion to our attachment to Krishna. And as we can see previously, that there is something called Eka Bahu Vartani, Bahu Vartana Vartani, Purna Prayaki, and Atyantiki, and Purna. Purna Prayaki, and Atyantiki. So these things is more or less the same thing that Krishna says. When religion goes up, irreligion goes down, and when irreligion goes up, then religion goes down. So similarly, when our consciousness of Krishna increases, then our consciousness of material existence decreases. And Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, if you understand three things, that Krishna, you can come in and pay your obeisances. You're about to leave?
Yes, I didn't want
to say. It's all right. That if we become conscious of, as religion goes up, then irreligion goes down. And as irreligion goes up, then religion goes down. So, In other words, if we want to get free from our tendency for being in Maya, then the only thing necessary is to be in Krishna consciousness. And if we want to increase our consciousness of Maya, then the best thing to do is to forget Krishna. And that means that's according to one's association. So as we'll find out that as one comes to a higher platform of consciousness, then the result is that one values the association of devotees even more. So in the next chapter, Ruchi, there are two types of Ruchi. There is the Ruchi which is very strong and Ruchi which is not so strong. So I don't think we have to worry about that. We'd probably take either one of them. But that taste is actually what we're looking for. Without spiritual taste, Hare Krishna. Have a nice trip.
Thank you.
Same to you. This is the essential platform of life, is taste. Everyone is looking for taste. And the real taste is in Krishna consciousness because the taste is permanent. And it's been explained in different ways, such as tapas, nayan deho deho bhajam riloke, kastan karman arhate vidbhujam ye, tapo divyam putraka yena sattvam shudyat tasmad brahma sokyam tvanantam. To actually come to the platform through the process of tapasya, austerity. And what is the main tapasya in this age? Yes, chanting Hare Krishna. Excuse me? Yes, that means follow four regular principles and be happy about it. So that chant Hare Krishna and be happy, that's the main austerity in this age. Tapo Dibyam, so this is divine austerity. Putraka Yena Sattvam, so by that endeavor, one can come to the mode of goodness. Sattvam, sattvam actually means existence. The real existence is in the mode of goodness. That's the beginning of consciousness. Shudyad, purified. Brahma Sokyam. So this happiness of Brahman, of the soul, Tvanantam, which goes on forever. And something is explained there. And then the next, we're going to go rapidly because I'm going to talk about prema, which is a nice thing to talk about, especially the description in here. So when the taste for doing bhajan, this is the sixth shower, this is called asakti. Krishna says, maya sakta manakparata yogam yunjan marashaya asam shayam samagramam ita gyasasi tatshino. The seventh chapter of Bhagavad Gita begins with the explanation of asakti. This is called this is when real devotion is there. Or Krishna says that this is the beginning of the perfection of devotion. Asakti, when the mind becomes attached to Krishna. So the state of asakti, the emphasis is just on the personality of Krishna. Well, in the state of ruchi, it says that there is thoughts of Krishna, but there's an actual taste is mostly for the bhajan, for the service. But at the state of asakti, then the personal relationship with Krishna becomes the center of one's attention more than even the service. So at the state of asakti, even if there's a tendency for the mind to wander away from thinking about Krishna and immediately draws itself back, that even at the stage of nishta, that at that particular stage, even if there's a tendency of the mind to think of Krishna, generally, it withdraws itself from thinking of Krishna, even at the stage of nishta. But at the stage of asakti, that even if there's a momentarily thought of something else, immediately one forgets it and remembers Krishna. So at that stage, there's practically no opportunity to fall to. There's only progress towards the goal. So this is the consciousness of a person in the mode of who's come to the platform of asakti. Early in the morning, seeing another devotee, he'll begin talking. Where are you coming from? You have perhaps a shalagram shila in the lovely case hanging around your neck. Chanting softly, your tongue is quivering every moment by tasting the nectar of Krishna's name. I don't know why you are giving your darshan to an unfortunate person like me and making me joyful. Tell me about all the holy places you have visited. Describe all the saintly souls you have met and what realizations they have blessed you with. You're perfecting yourself and others also. In this way, he'll pass some time drinking in nectar in intimate talks. In other words, the devotee, he enjoys the association of other devotees, especially talking about Krishna, and this is why he wants to pass his time. The more one makes advancement in Krishna consciousness, then everything becomes more simple. Even in the midst of the greatest difficulty, then still everything is very simple because he's simply in Krishna consciousness. Therefore, things like sukeshu vamanagmana, sukeshu vigatas priha, vitaraga vaya krodha stita dhyamune uchite. That one who's not bewildered in spite of the threefold miseries, who's not elated when there is happiness, and who's free from attachment, fear, and anger, is known as the sage of steady mind. So one who's in Krishna consciousness, he realizes that even in the most unfortunate situation, that he doesn't become disturbed because he realizes he just has to tolerate it. Things will come and go. It's not by accident that he's faced with his difficulty. It is due to his past activities. Although Krishna has minimized it, the reaction, still he tolerates. And if he's in a fortunate position, he realizes that Krishna has allowed this fortunate position to come about so that he can engage in better service to the Lord. But in any case, whether it's so-called fortunate or unfortunate, he goes on with determination his service to Krishna. The only fortunate thing in the material world, actually, is to remember Krishna. And the only unfortunate thing in the material world is to forget Krishna. So if we think like that, then we probably won't have to worry about so much about astrology and what's going to happen to us. We might even be happy during August 11th. August 11th, there's supposed to be an eclipse. But for a devotee in Krishna consciousness, there is no fortunate or unfortunate position. Of course, relatively, there's things that are more fortunate and less fortunate. But for a person in Krishna consciousness who's in, then he's not disturbed by any so-called fortunate or unfortunate position. He thinks if he can come into the association of devotees and hear about Krishna, then he's very fortunate. Abhiram Prabhu, who's the president of Calcutta in 1977, he left the position and he wanted to start his own business. And he came to, at that time Prabhupada was in Vrindavan. And Prabhupada was talking to the devotees. And he was saying that the most important thing, to become a householder is alright. And even if one wants to live on the outside, the real danger, he said, though, is not to live in the association of devotees. Not to be in the association of devotees, and specifically not to hear regularly about the philosophy of Krishna consciousness. Because as soon as one stops hearing regularly about the philosophy of Krishna consciousness, then one will get the karmi disease. Because the tendency is to forget. If we don't have the association of devotees hearing regularly, then our minds will be filled up with so much other statements and philosophies that are in the material world. But the devotee who's come to this platform of asakti, he wants nothing more than just to be in the association of devotees and hear about Krishna. This is called attachment. So Krishna says that this is the beginning of devotional service, and if one practices that, then all one's other doubts will automatically dissipate. The real doubt is whether Krishna is actually God or not. As I mentioned before, one time Prabhupada was with his servant, Harisari, and he said that one problem in the Hare Krishna movement is that the devotees don't believe in Krishna. So that sometimes is a problem. But Krishna says, asam shayam samagram, that by the process of fixing the mind upon Krishna, then gradually one will actually become aware of Krishna. And as one becomes conscious of Krishna, then all his doubts will automatically go away. And in the seventh shower of nectar, which is the flowing of supreme bliss, which is bhava, so at that stage, this is the actual beginning of life. Bhagavad Gita, Krishna mentions bhava in many different places. He says, aham sarvasya pravo, matak sarvam pravartate, iti matva bhajante mam, buddha bhava samanvitaha. That I am the source of everything, from me the entire creation flows. The wise who know this perfectly well engage in my devotional service and they worship me with all their hearts. So this love for Krishna will manifest itself when we realize how wonderful Krishna is. Or when it can actually experience Krishna's, to some extent, Krishna's unlimited beauty, his unlimited strength, his unlimited knowledge, his unlimited fame, his unlimited strength, his unlimited renunciation. When one can experience these things, then naturally the heart develops bhava or love for Krishna. Just in the material world, we become attracted to these opulences, even when they're manifested themselves to a very small degree. But when we become aware of Krishna, who possesses these opulences to an unlimited degree, then this is the stage of bhava. And because Krishna's opulences are all spiritual, therefore the three potencies of Ladini, Sandini, and Samvit, they become manifest within the devotee. Now, Ladini is the bliss potency, so one actually feels transcendental ecstasy. It's quite encouraging. You feel transcendental ecstasy. And the Samvit potency, these two potencies, Ladini and Samvit, make up Chit Shakti, the internal energy of Krishna. When they manifest within the heart, then the devotee understands everything clearly. And what does he understand? He understands that he's Krishna's servant and Krishna is his. Very simple. When Lord Chaitanya was in Jagannath Puri, and there is one devotee, what was the devotee's name, who was, he said he had written the Srimad Bhagavatam, begins with a V, Venkatabhat. Venkatabhat, he told Lord Chaitanya that he had written a book and he had wanted to explain about Krishna's names. And he wanted Lord Chaitanya to hear his explanation. But Lord Chaitanya said, no, I only know Krishna has two names, Shyamasundara and Nandanandana. So Lord Chaitanya, although he knows everything, being the incarnation of this, being God himself, still if we look at his life, it was quite simple. It was simply in Krishna consciousness. Lord Chaitanya himself, he left us only eight verses known as the Shikshastika, and what is this? It's all centered around simply developing awareness of and love for Krishna. So that is knowledge. And one who comes to the bhava stage of Samvit, Sandini, Ladini, Shakti, he realizes that that is knowledge. He may not know, you know, neutrons and protons and quarks and whatever else they have. He may not know anything about these things. He only knows Krishna. But because he knows Krishna, jnanam teham savi jnanam idam vakshama sheshataha yaj gatva neha bunyon yaj getavyam avashishate. Because he knows Krishna, he's said to be the knower of everything. Evam, what is that? Evam, get that verse. Yomam evam asamudo janati purushottama sasarvavit bhajante mam sarabhavena bharata. That anyone who knows me as the Supreme Personality of Godhead is said to be the knower of everything, and therefore he engages himself in unalloyed devotional service. So at the stage of bhava, the devotee develops two qualities known as moksha labha krit, which means that even the concept of liberation, he's not very much interested in it. and that devotional service is rarely achieved. I wonder if the Sanskrit is there for rarely achieved. In any case, those are the two qualities of bhava. Rarely achieved, and one decries even the concept of liberation. So we may not realize what it means to decry the concept of liberation, because everyone is actually looking for liberation in the material world. We may not realize it, but the material world is a place of suffering, and the attempt to mitigate our suffering is actually an attempt for liberation from the suffering. There are different types of liberation that are explained within the Bhagavatam, but one who's at the stage of bhava, liberation doesn't mean anything for him because he's already liberated. And the idea of becoming simply liberated is not very appealing for him because his existence is of a different quality. He's living in the spiritual consciousness. And here it explains more or less the preliminary aspects of prema, or pure love. At the stage of prema, at the stage of bhava, one begins to experience what love means. At the stage of ruchi, there's some feeling of love, vaguely, but actually the main thing is taste. There's a difference between tasting Krishna and loving Krishna. In the material concept, when we're in the previous stages and the material concept is very high, then some of our endeavor is more or less to get free from our anathas, for instance, and our misconceptions, to get liberated from them, so we can advance to a higher stage. At the stage of ruchi, when one has accomplished that, then he actually begins to taste Krishna and enjoy his transcendental service. At the stage of asati, then it becomes spontaneous and natural. It doesn't take any endeavor at all to think of Krishna. It's automatic. But at the stage of bhava, instead of enjoying his service, he begins to love Krishna. That's when his real life begins, that he becomes alive rather than just trying to enjoy. He actually is participating now in his real life. He's doing something for Krishna, namely trying to love him. And the love from his heart flows spontaneously, so there's no effort. And something is explained there, that bhava has different aspects. We probably heard about Vibhava, Anubhava, Sanchari Bhava, Yavyavichari Bhava, and steady Bhava? Satvika Bhava. No, Satvika is the different aspects of Bhava. Stayi Bhava is the steady Bhava. So these manifest themselves in the state of Bhava, of course, and they mix together and they form what's called rasa. The different feelings that the devotee has and the different feelings that he tastes, due to, like in Vibhava, there is the aspect of what's anulamba, the qualities of Krishna's flute, the qualities of the buffalo horn, the qualities of the peacocks, these things which remind us of Krishna, they cause bhava or feelings within the heart of the devotee. And then there's alambana, which is Krishna himself, which awakens feelings within the heart of the devotee. And then this causes anuraga, the devotee to react in different physical ways, like dancing, becoming stunned, and crying, whatever. And there's the sattvika, which is, just like Lord Chaitanya says, sagadgada, that the voice becomes choked up. How does that verse go? When will my heart be decorated with tears of love, flowing constantly while I chant your holy name? How does that start? Ashisha, no. Before ugayuta. Yugai, what's that? Nayanam galarashu darya sagadam gadam pulayar. as I shared. Tavanama grahane bhavishyati. So one, tavanama grahane bhavishyati. When will I chant your holy name? And all these different things such as gadgada, rudayara, giram, my voice will choke up, and vipula, my hairs will stand on end, my body will fade. So these are some of the main ecstasies in sattvika bhava. The standing of the hair on end, the fading of the voice, the fading of the color of the body, sattvika bhava. And then there is the vyabhichari bhavas, which are seemingly distressful experiences like death or anxiety or different things like that. Not exactly death, but seemingly dying. That these are seemingly adverse activities or reactions, but actually they're full of pleasure for the devotee. So these are different bhavas, and when they combine together, they produce different rasas, relationships with Krishna, and as these relations with Krishna awakens, and one comes to the, as they thicken, as one becomes more intensified, it comes to the stage of prema. Now, it's not very long. Not that long. I read about prema, which is quite nice. I guess most of you have read this before. How many of the devotees have read about prema before? Never hurts to hear it again. I read it 3 times today. The two unfolding leaves of sadhana. So prema has 2 more aspects that bhava doesn't have. Namely, it gives one unlimited transcendental pleasure, and it's the only means by which to attract Krishna. The 2 unfolding leaves of sadhana on the desire creeper of bhakti were described before. Now its hearing, chanting, and other devotional processes become very smooth and buttery. Suddenly, many shiny petals appear at every moment, clinging to the flower of bhava known as anubhavas, symptoms of ecstasy, shining brilliantly. The fully blossoming flower of bhava matures and brings forth the fruit of prema. But what is most astonishing about the creeper of bhakti is that though its leaves, buds, flowers, and fruits mature into the succeeding forms, still their original forms remain. Together they shine splendidly in newer and newer ways. Though previously the countless emotions of the devotee were tightly bound by the ropes of attachment to body, family, relatives, home, and wealth, prema now effortlessly sunders these bonds. When prema by its own power takes the same emotions, though material, mayiki, and dips them into a well of divine nectar, maharasa, whose mere touch completely transforms them into spiritual emotions, satchit ananda jyotirmayi. Then it firmly binds these spiritualized emotions to the sweetness of the Lord's name, form, and quality. This is prema, the brilliantly rising sun that immediately puts the host of star-like human ideals to shame, purushartha. So essentially what this means is that the same feelings we now have, they become spiritualized because they tie Krishna together to those feelings. Just like the whole idea of so many zeros put together makes zero, but if one adds a one in front of them, namely Krishna, then it makes a big number. So by Krishna's energy, that even one's family, his friends, everything becomes Krishna-ized. The devotee relishes the nectar flowing from the fruit of prema in the form of concentrated bliss, sandra ananda. The sublime nourishing potency of this nectar is its power to attract even Krishna, Shri Krishna Karshani. Needless to say, when the devotee begins to taste this nectar, he takes no heed of any obstacles. As a great demoniac warrior engrossed in battle, or a thief feverish for a priceless treasure, loses all sense of discretion, in the same way the devotee loses all sense of self. If one could imagine a hunger impossible to satisfy, even by eating an unlimited amount of the most tasty foods constantly day and night, like this arises a longing for the Lord. This anxiety burns the devotee like the blazing sun, and at the same time relieves him by causing a glimpse in the heart, spurti, of the unlimited form, quality, and sweetness of the Lord, which the devotee relishes like the soothing coolness of millions of moons. This is a very astonishing prema, simultaneously gives acute anxiety and relief from this anxiety. First arising in its reservoir in the heart and slightly increasing, prema pierces the devotee like a shaft with an ardent longing to see the Lord at every moment. Then the searing heat of the fire of this anxiety burns the shaft to ashes, relieving the devotee's pain by causing a spuruti of the Lord in his heart. Relishing the madhurya of the Lord's form and pastimes, still he remains unsatiated and his longing for the Lord again increases. In this state he considers friends as useless as a dry, overgrown well, and his household becomes like a thorn-filled forest. Food seems totally distasteful. Praise from other devotees is like the biting of a snake. Daily duties seem as painful as death. All the limbs of his body seem like an unimaginable burden. The consolation of his comrades is like poison. Though he remains constantly awake, wakefulness is like a sea of repentance. And if sleep does come, it seems like full of mortal anguish. His body seems like the target of chastisement for the Lord, and breathing in and out seems as fruitless as sowing roasted grains. What more can be said? What were always his favorite things now are abandoned as great calamities. Even thinking of the Lord seems to tear his body asunder. Then one day in his state, the magnet of prema attracts black iron like Krishna, making him appear before the eyes of the devotee. The Lord then floods his devotee's senses with unrivaled auspicious qualities, springing from his own eternal being. Beauty, fragrance, pleasant voice, tenderness, tastiness, generosity, and compassion. The uncommon sweetness and ever-freshness of these qualities create an acute, ever-increasing longing in the heart as the devotee lovingly relishes them. To describe the vast ocean of transcendental bliss appearing at this time, the words of the poet are no better than a tiny loader. Some meager examples can be given. A traveler on a desert path, scorched by the hot rays of the summer sun, somehow finds shelter under the cool shade of a vast banyan tree, densely tangled with branches and surrounded with hundreds of vessels of ice-cold Ganga water. An elephant caught in a forest fire for a long time is finally bathed by unlimited streams of water from a thick bank of rain clouds. A person plagued by hundreds of mortal diseases and burning with thirst by chance drinks exquisitely sweet nectar. The incredible happiness that each one of these three feels gives only a tiny glimpse of the unbounded bliss felt by the devotee in prema. The Lord first reveals his beauty, Sandarya, to the eyes of the utterly astonished devotee. The sweetness of his beauty makes all the senses in the mind become like eyes to see the Lord. In other words, although we may theoretically talk about how beautiful Krishna is, but it's different when you actually see how beautiful Krishna actually is. And obviously words don't really describe what the state of prema is, but Śrīla Viśvanātha Cakravarti Thakura is trying to give us the best as he can, some indication of what the experience is like. To revive him, the Lord next reveals his fragrance, Saurabhya, to the nostrils of his devotee, and the devotee's senses and mind take on the quality of the nose to smell. As the devotee starts to swoon a second time, the Lord says, "O my devotee, I am fully under your control. Please don't be disturbed. Just realize me to your full satisfaction." The Lord thus discloses his pleasing voice, Sosvarya, to the ear of his devotee, and as before, all the senses become like ears to hear. As his devotee swoons a third time, the Lord mercifully gives him the touch of his lotus feet, hands, or breast, revealing his delicate softness, so karmarya, according to the different rasas of the devotees. To those in the mood of servitude, dasya, he touches his lotus feet to their heads. To those in the mood of friendship, sakya,
He grasps their hands with his. For those in the mood of parental affection, vatsalya, he gives the touch of his hands by wiping away their tears. For those in the conjugal mood, prayasi, he awards his tender softness by embracing them to his heart with his long arms. Again, the devotee's senses all take on the sense of touch to feel his softness. At the start of the fourth swoon, the Lord restores him by giving him his fifth, madhurya, the taste of the nectar of his lips, swarasya. But this he reveals only to those who at this time are in the mood of conjugal love and desire this, but not to others. The devotee's senses all take on the sense of taste, and he faints for a fifth time. This blissful swoon is so deep, the Lord can revive him only by bestowing his sixth quality, aldarya, generosity. Aldarya refers to the state where all the Lord's qualities, beauty, fragrance, sound, touch, and taste, forcefully manifest at once to his devotees' various senses. So Krishna consciousness is not without experience, sensual experience. Real Krishna consciousness has unlimited sensual experience. Then prema, understanding the mind of the Lord, increases to the utmost, and with it the keen hankering of the devotee. Prema becomes like a powerful moon in the heart of the devotee. Presiding over the ocean of bliss and creating hundreds of waves, it causes an almost destructive friction in the devotee's heart among the competing tastes. At the same time as the presiding deity in the mind, the moon of prema expands its power and allows the devotee to relish all the different tastes at the same time without conflict. One should not think that due to the lack of the single-mindedness, the devotee will be unable to relish the fullness of the various tastes. Rather, the senses attain an extraordinary, inconceivable, wonderfully amazing capacity to do the function of all the other senses even more fully savor the madhurya of the Lord's beauty, pleasant voice, and other qualities. Mundane logic is useless in these inconceivable matters. So just as Krishna has all his senses, and they're all interchangeable, so similarly our senses become the same way. And we can equally relish Krishna's form, the taste of his body, the sweetness of his lips, and the pleasant voice, beauty, etc. All these can be relished unlimitedly and simultaneously. We can't really. This is a very famous verse from the Mahabharata. Achintya kalu ye bhava natyam starkena yojayat prakrita prakriti vya param yascha tara chintasi lakshanam. Don't try to understand those matters which are inconceivable, achintya, with mundane logic, as being beyond material nature is the meaning of achintya. In other words, these wonderful things that are being described, we probably won't be able to understand. All we can do is try to appreciate it. Seeing the devotee yearning to relish sandarya and other sweet qualities of the Lord all at once, but helpless like a chatika bird trying to catch every raindrop at once in its beak, the Lord considers, oh, why am I keeping so many wonderful qualities to myself? To let the devotee partake of them all, the Lord manifests the seventh, madhurya, karunya, compassion. The superintendent of all the Lord's shaktis, she reigns as the supreme empress in the middle of a lotus on whose eight surrounding petals are the eight saktis mentioned in the Agama Shastra, Vimala, Utkarshani, Jnana, Kriya, Yoga, Privi, Satya, and Ishani. This karuna, also known as Anugraha, anyone remember where Anugraha? This in the Shikshasika where this word is, Anugraha. Anuragaha. Nam namakari bahuda nija sarva shaktis tatrapita niyamita smarnena kalaha etadrishi tavakripa bhagavan mamati durdaivam idrisham ihajani nanuragaha. So this is anuraga, this kindness or favor, the mercy of the Lord. Although I'm chanting the holy names, and Krishna has given so many names, unfortunately I have no attraction for them. Manifests himself in the lotus eyes of the Lord. To his devotees in the mood of servant, he is known as Kripa Shakti. To his other devotees as Vatsalya, or sometimes Karunya. It appears in relation to the devotees in conjugal mood, it is known as Chit Vidravini, Akarshani Shakti, that melts the heart of Krishna and attracts him. Thus it is known by many names according to the different moods of the devotee. By this Kripa Shakti, the Lord's all-pervading free will, Ichcha Shakti, influences the heart and causes great astonishment even those realized souls were fully self-realized Atmaramas. This Kripa Shakti invites one quality called Bhakta Vatsalya, affection for his devotees, to rule as an emperor over all the other Lord's auspicious spiritual qualities, as described by the deity of the earth in the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. I'll just read the English. Truthfulness, cleanliness, pity, forbearance, renunciation, satisfaction, straightforwardness, peacefulness, sense control, austerity, equality, patience, self-restraint, learned in the Vedas, knowledge, indifferences, sense enjoyment, leadership, chivalry, influence, strength, memory, independence, dexterity, beauty, fortitude, kindness, ingenuity, gentility, morality, endurance, enthusiasm, power, fortune, gravity, steadiness, fidelity, fame, honor, pridelessness, all these 39 and many other transcendental qualities worthy to be possessed by exalted personalities are ever present in the Lord without deterioration. That's from the Srimad Bhagavatam 1:16, 26-29. The Shastra names 18 principal faults that are never present in the Lord. Illusion, laziness, error, cruelty, intense lust, fickleness, arrogance, envy, violence, sorrow, fatigue, dishonesty, anger, longing, fear, confusion, partiality, and dependency on others, even though they are altogether absent in the Lord, by the request of Bhakta Vatsalya, these qualities are present at times in various avatars, such as Ram and Krishna. Just like it appears that Krishna was a cheater, he was a killer, he was a liar, had so many different qualities. But actually, these are all in relation to Bhakta Vatsalya. When Krishna kills demons, it's for the benefit of the devotees. When he lies or tells Yudhisthira Maharaj to lie, it's all for the benefit of his devotee. So these become great ornaments in Krishna rather than bad qualities. To completely relish the beauty and other qualities revealed by the Lord, the enlivened devotee savors them over and over again. Most astonishing, their sweetness increases more and more, and the devotee ascends to higher and higher peaks of experience. Send this to the people who take drugs. This is actually what people who are taking drugs are actually looking for. Higher and higher peaks of experience, then continually realizing the unheard of sweetness of the Lord's Bhakta Vatsalya, his heart begins to melt. The Lord, showing his kind nature, says, "O my best devotee, many births you have given up wife, house, and wealth to attain me. For the sake of my service, you endure untold miseries such as cold, wind, hunger, thirst, and pain. Maintaining your life by begging, you tolerated countless insults and abuses from other men. In return for all your sacrifice, I am unable to give you anything. I have simply become your debtor. Rulership over the whole earth, lordship over the heavens, and mystic powers are unsuitable for you. How can I give them to you? No, grass and straw, the delight of cows, I cannot give to a man. Though I am unconquerable, today I have certainly been conquered by you. Now I am taking shelter of the creeper of your excellent character and gentle conduct." Receiving loving, sweet loving words of the Lord as ornaments on his ears, the devotee says, "O my Lord, O my Master, O ocean of mercy, you glanced upon me while I was being bitten by swarms of crocodiles, endless miseries amidst the terrifying current of birth and death. This mercy rose as the sun and melted your butter-like heart. O Lord, transcendental to all the worlds, in the form of the spiritual master, you destroyed ignorance and lust. The Sudarshan chakra of your darshan cut apart those crocodiles and free me from the clutches of their terrible teeth. To fulfill my desire to serve your lotus feet as a maidservant, Dasi, you place the syllables of your mantra in my ears, destroy my suffering. You purify me by constant hearing and chanting and remembering your name and glories. Through the association of your own dear devotees, you made me understand how to render service to yourself. Still being ignorant, the lowest of the low, I have never served even one day in my prayer. I realized that by my poor intelligence I was clearly offending you. I was trying to compare half a useless mustard seed to the golden Mount Meru, a chickpea to a touchstone, Chintamani, a jackal to a lion, or a mosquito to Garuda. Thinking then I'm praising the Lord. My inept poetry became famous among common people, but now that for one moment I behold the splendorous beauty of your Shri Murti before my very eyes, I am ashamed. My words of comparison are like the teeth of restless cows trying to defile the desired creature of your beauty, but they are unable to do so. In this way, the devotee praises the Lord many ways, and the Lord becomes extremely pleased with the devotee. And especially for the devotee in a conjugal relation, Prayasi Bhava, the Lord reveals as far as possible his entire Vrindavan Dham, along with his loving pastimes, according to the devotee's desire. The Lord shows him Sri Vrindavan, the desire tree, the Mahayoga pit, the chief of all beloveds, Rishubhanu Nandini, Sri Radha, along with his sakis like Lalita and her Manjaris. Her own friend says her Subal, the cows herded by him, the Jamuna River, Govardhan Hill, Nandishvara Hill, the forest such as Bandiravan. He then reveals Nanda Jasoda and all brothers, friends, servants, and Brajavasis there. Revealing all these imbued with excellent rasa, the Lord plunges his devotee in an enchanting tidal wave of bliss and then suddenly disappears with his entire entourage. Then remaining conscious after some moments, the devotee opens his eyes, anxious to see the Lord again. When able to see the Lord, he begins to cry. Was I merely dreaming? No, I wasn't dreaming, as I haven't any drowsiness or heaviness in my eyes from a sleep. Was it some hallucination? No, an hallucination could never give such bliss. Or was it some defect in the mind? No, the symptoms of a distracted mind are absent. Was it the fulfillment of some cherished desire? No. Material fancy can never even approach what I've seen. Was it a fleeting glimpse of the Lord in the heart, Spuruti? No, all the past visions of the Lord that I remember were never so vivid. In this way, plagued by various doubts, the devotee falls on the earth, on the dusty earth, praying to have again the darshan of the Lord. Hankering over and over again for darshan, but not obtaining it, he laments, weeps, rolls on the ground, wounds his own body, faints, recovers, stands, sits, runs about, and wails like a madman. Sometimes he sits silently like a sage, and sometimes like a social misfit, he fails to do his daily duties. At other times he talks incoherently, a person possessed by spirits. Then if a devotee friend comes to console him and asks privately what is the matter, he explains to his friend what he has experienced. The friend explains, "Oh, my friend, what good fortune. You had a direct meeting with the Lord, Bhagavat Sakshatkara." Satisfied with his explanation, he recovers for a moment and becomes happy. Then the next moment he again laments, "Oh, why can't I again have the Lord's darshan? Was it just like a shower of causeless mercy from some crown jewel of Mahabhagavats upon this worthless soul? Or was it the fruit of some so-called service done by this worthless soul like me, which according to the logic of the termite letters, that is, the logic of termite letters, or a gunakshaka naya, refers to the marks termites make in wood, having the unexpected or chance resemblance to actual letters. Resemble real devotional service? Or perhaps the Lord, whose compassion personified, bestow his causeless mercy on such a wretched ocean of faults as myself? Oh, what to do? By some indescribable fortune, the Lord came into my very hands, but then due to some grave offense, he slipped away again. I am helpless. My mind is reeling. I can't understand, where shall I go? What shall I do? And how? To whom? To speak? Whom to ask? The three worlds appear totally empty and hold nothing for me. Without shelter, I feel like I'm being devoured by a scorching forest fire. Giving up worldly association, I'll stay alone for some time to think. Doing this, he laments further, O lotus-faced Lord, overflowing with streams of sweet nectar, your beautiful form is bedecked with a garland of fragrant forest flowers, sending all the forests and intoxicating the bees who hum about. Just for one moment, may I see your lordship again. Having once tasted your madhurya, I aspire for nothing else. He begins to roll on the ground, breathe heavily, faint and lose his mind. Suddenly seeing the Lord everywhere, he rejoices, embraces, laughs, dances, and sings. Then the Lord again disappears. Filled with remorse, he weeps. He spends the rest of his life behaving in this strange way, and no longer knows whether he has a body or not. He is unaware when in due course of his time, his material body passes through the elements. He understands only that his worshipful Lord, the ocean of mercy, is directly manifest, leading him to his own abode to engage him in personal service. Thus the devotee reaches the final goal of life. It's worth 16 rounds a day. Of course, Prabhupada writes in that verse, the first verse, Maya Sakamanat Parata. He says that in the first six chapters of Bhagavad Gita, the living entity has been described as non-material spirit soul who is capable of elevating himself to self-realization by different types of yoga. So, who's capable of elevating himself to different types to self-realization by different types of yoga. So, the main factor, whether or not we meet Krishna, get Krishna's darshan in this lifetime, it just depends upon one person, us. That Krishna is equal to everyone. He wants to give everyone his darshan. That's why he comes in the form of the deity. But whether or not we accept his darshan, and to what extent we accept his darshan, that all depends upon us. And the process is given here. And as I said again, out of all the processes, the most important aspect is to chant Hare Krishna attentively. If we can simply become aloof or detached from so many thoughts that enter into our mind while we're chanting, then this is called vairagya. One can learn vairagya very quickly by just becoming unattached to the thoughts that occur when we're chanting Hare Krishna, and by trying to chant Hare Krishna with the idea of actually asking Krishna and asking Srimati Radharani to engage us in their loving service. And if we understand what that means, and we're sincere in our request to Krishna to do that, then we can experience Krishna's reciprocation, by which he'll give us more and more understanding what Krishna's loving service means. And that will gradually bring us to the perfection of life, from all the way from the beginning, Shraddha, all the way up to Prema. So I'll stop there. Any questions? Thank you. Yes. Yeah, of course, unless he gives us this attraction, then we won't become inspired. Krishna is very tricky. He knows everyone's psychology very well. That if he gives us a little glimmer of what it's like, then automatically we'll become anxious to get that same experience again. So Krishna gives us a little hint of what the spiritual world is, or a direct experience like that, very intense for a very advanced devotee. And then the devotee, when he loses it, then he becomes overwhelmed with anxiety to get it back again. Just like a greedy man who's amassed a huge amount of wealth. But then if he suddenly loses it all, then how does he feel? So similarly, when one gets Krishna's personal darshan, he becomes overwhelmed with happiness, and when he loses it, then he becomes even more anxious to get it again. So this anxiety is what makes him eligible to go back to the spiritual world. We get what we pay for. Right now we want so many things except for Krishna. But when we can focus in just wanting Krishna, and Krishna gradually reveals himself, then we can gradually develop more and more a desire to want just Krishna. Yes? So even at the stage where a devotee, where Krishna, one is eligible to directly see Radha and Krishna, the Sakis, the Sakas, Govardhan Hill, the Jamuna, even at that stage, one has to progress even further to intensify his desire to serve Krishna, to associate with Krishna, so Krishna reveals himself that way. Rolled it. Yes. Well, not necessarily. There's different types of there's chaya, and then there is pratibimba. Chaya abhas, and pratibimba abhas. So chaya is just like is a shadow, but that shadow is just like by association, then we may get some experience. And but pratibimba is reflection. So whether it's if we develop some attraction for Krishna. Well, that means Krishna is revealing himself to us a little bit. But that's not a shadow. But the shadow attraction, that refers to just like if we sit with a devotee who's advanced and we somehow or another, by his association, we become a little inspired. But pratibimba is just like a reflection of light on off of something. So pratibimba is like the Mayavadi's attraction towards Krishna. It's reflected off their Mayavadi philosophy. But chaya attraction is different. But in this case, it's maybe chaya, it may not be. It may be just Krishna is giving us some enlightenment. Actually, the material world is the shadow, and Krishna consciousness is the reality. But chaya in this case, chaya and pratibimba refers to something else. I think explained in Harinam Chintamani somewhere. You can read it in there between Chaya and Pratibimba. Chaya Namabhas, or if the faint shadowy name, the way the shadowy name is opened by Chaya Shraddha Namabhas, or the faint shadow of Shraddha faith. On the other hand, Pratibimba Abhas reflects a distorted image of the real object. So you could say it's Chaya Namabhas or something, we're chanting the holy name, we're getting a little glimpse of it. A little glimpse of Krishna's form, his attractiveness. Yes. We shouldn't start crying. How important? We should probably avoid that. We should more, because that's when we cry, we usually cry in the mode of ignorance. Yeah, like a child crying lovingly for its mother. We should hear the quality of our chanting and try and modify in such a way as if, you know, it's actually more loving than anything else. If we try and perfect our chanting, then Krishna will give us the intelligence how to do it. But generally, we're just asking to engage in Krishna's loving service. So the more loving our chanting is, the more Krishna will become pleased. But we can't do it by ourselves. Krishna will have to give us the intelligence. So if we're conscious, then we'll become conscious of the moods, how Krishna is changing the sound vibration. That's prema. Yeah, that's just prema. One is no longer conscious of his material body, whether he has one or not. It's a nice state. And from there, sneha, mana, pranaya, raga, anuraga, bhava, and mahabhava, they develop. As it explains later on, that we can't actually experience the higher stages in this body because they're so intense that one would die immediately. The body couldn't support because they're as cooling as millions of moons and as burning as thousands of suns or millions of suns. So the material body can't support such an intense experience. It can only support up to prema. But if we can get that for us, won't be any problem. So I'll stop there. Thank you very much for attending the seminar. It's quite a nice book, Madhuri Kandambini. I think that although it may be difficult to get this translation, I found this was the best translation, one that was done by Dina Bandhu with the help of some other people. The other translations I found a little difficult to read. The one by Bhanu Maharaj is nice, but it's a little incomplete. But even if you can't get this copy, even the other copies, you can try and read it. I try to read it. I find it a little difficult. The one that's being sold in the by Vishnumurti, the trilogy, I found it a little difficult to read, but you can try and read it. Thank you very much. Madhuri Kandambini ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakura ki jai.